This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
But you've literally got nothing else?
Nothing. Got nothing to talk about.
You just...
That's all. I've never done
anything. But we've got an hour to fill.
And I've got an hour to fill on the radio.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's not a thing. Although I did see someone in the street wearing a T-shirt with it written on. So
good morning.
Someone's doing something right, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's good. Welcome to Fan Club. My name's... this is Nick and...
Nat's Fan Club.
First rule of Fan Club is
tell your friends about Fan Club.
Tell your friends about Fan Club. It's great. It's what a lovely... I've just looked out the window and... We've got a new button, and it's sunny outside, so really excited about that. And I always feel better. Yeah, I always feel better when it's sunny outside. I always feel less like throwing myself off a bridge when it's sunny outside. So it's great. It's great that it's such a lovely day, and we're stuck in this very air-conditioned studio.
It is. It's not bad in here, actually. It's quite nice.
What have you been? I've got this to say. So I have a flat and I rent a flat and I'm looking to buy a flat and there are some flats that are my name's Nick Helm, by the way, and that's Nathaniel Metcalf.
We did. Oh yeah, we said
we didn't actually say our surnames.
No.
We do have a listenership of week on week.
It's increasing.
The reason why we're slightly overexcited is just before we had 10 seconds to go, and just before we went on air, Natalie, our producer, told us that week on week our listenership is increasing, which means that
it's going up.
It's going up. Which means that every week that I walk around the corner from my house and you travel from one side of London to the other, costing you about £5, we worked out.
Yes, I think so.
That it isn't actually a pointless exercise. It is actually doing some good. Some people, some good. And some of you out there are actually telling your friends, so that's very nice. Very nice of you. But it is a rule, so not all of you are doing that. Oh, we had some fan art this week, didn't we?
We had some new fan art.
And that's very exciting. And so keep that... rolling in.
Yeah.
And I have got a flat, and in my road, I'm renting a flat, and on my road there are a couple of other flats that are up for sale.
Oh yeah.
And
you got your eye on them?
I went and had a look around them to see, you know, how the neighbours live.
I was going to say, that must be quite nice as well, because you get to see how...
It's not that it's nice, but it is fascinating.
And is it like an alternate world of your flat?
Yeah.
Are they very similar layouts and everything?
Well, I went to... Because I'm on a downstairs basement flat. Anyone that saw my show last year will have a very detailed idea of what my flat looks like. I went into quite an in-depth description of the layout of my flat. So if you were a blind cat burglar, you'd be able to get in there and take everything. All my cowboy paraphernalia. But so I've got an underground lair, and I went to another basement flat that was like a couple of doors down, and my bedrooms are on the ground floor, mm-hmm. and then my living room and my kitchen are on the underground floor. And they've got it flipped the other way round.
Yeah, crazy. Oh, what? Hang on. I can... that would be weird.
They've got
right?
the bedrooms underground, and then they've got... And also the door is downstairs, so you have to go down underground to get into there. It was weird. And then there was another one which was upstairs, and they had the kitchen on the roof. Not on the roof, on the top floor. I just found that very weird. Because by the time, you know, if you were really hungry and you got home, and you just think, if I don't eat now, I'll collapse, then you'd have to go up four flights of stairs to get your kitchen.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What I would end up doing is I'd buy one of them mini fridges and I'd have it plugged in by the front door, just, you know, with a tracker bar in it or something, and I could...
Just to keep you going. Just to get you upstairs.
Or an iron brew. Something to give me that boost that I need to get up the stairs. Anyway, so we went into one of these things and there was a guy that was on the sofa. and he was sort of like splayed out on the sofa.
What, while you were looking around?
Yeah.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, I just think it's like one of those things when I've got a cleaner. When the cleaner comes in, I would, you know, I'd rather die than be
seen
just sort of laying about next to a pile of rubbish.
Because you want to look like, the reason I have a cleaner, because I'm a really busy guy, and it's not that I just can't be bothered to clean.
Exactly.
You want to look like, because I'm actually really busy and I've got work to do. But
when you're next to a semen-encrusted overflowing bin full of tissues, it's kind of like, yeah, just get that before us, would you? It's kind of like, it's the worst of the worst. Anyway, so I went around this guy's house, and the other thing is, you get to see people's DVD collections.
Oh, yeah, that's what I do whenever I go to any party or something.
But they've got, like, stand-up comedy.
Oh, and they haven't got...
You just look at all of the stand-up comedy DVDs and you judge them for it, you know. I went around the other day, there was someone with a Joe Lycett book. I thought, not in my name. So I went through it and I ripped out every other page. And then saw someone with a Mark Watson DVD, which is an hour long. And I just thought, come on.
Any extras?
That's a 24th of what his potential is, isn't it? Mm. 1 hour for Mark Watson. I mean, cramming all of that in. So
you can fit more on a DVD. I think you should try and cram them full of extra stuff.
Well, I know when we did Heavy Entertainment, we tried to put as many extras on as possible. Anyway, so there was this guy, and I was with the estate agent who let me into my neighbour's house.
Was he dressed?
He was dressed. But I went in, and I'd never met him before, and I went in. And he looked up, and the estate agent didn't know who I was. Right? Mm-hmm. Didn't know that.
What?
Didn't know that I was a comedian.
Seems unlikely, Nick.
Nobody ever recognises me. Nobody ever recognises me. Nobody knows who I am. It's fine, right? But I went in and I met the estate agent. She didn't know who I was, and then I got let in, and the guy recognised me, right? And he goes, "Oh, yeah." He freaked out a bit. He went, "You're the dude," and I went, "Yeah, I'm the dude." And then we looked around the house, and the estate agent never asked me who I was.
Just acknowledged it as a.
She just was like, "Oh right, I guess this guy goes into people's houses and people say, oh, you're the dude." And then I go, "Yeah, I'm the dude." And then I was just like, "And how many bathrooms are there?" It was weird. It was weird.
Did he have a Heavy Entertainment DVD?
He does now. I like to leave something behind. It's pathetic, isn't it? Still, five listeners out there. So,
growing every week, though. Six next week.
Tell your friends. I love it. What have you been up to this week, Nat?
Very little, apart from preparing for my Edinburgh show. We were told today. I was looking at. We did a photo for Twitter this morning that was based on PJ and Duncan.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah.
You were there.
I thought you meant you and your Edinburgh team for a second. And I was just like, no, you're talking about something that just happened, aren't you?
Yeah. They've had an interesting recording career, haven't they, PJ and Duncan, a.k.a.?
The a.k.a.? Yeah, I'm an a.k.a. lover.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Natalie is telling us what we actually did this week.
We did.
Oh, did you really?
I did forget.
I'm literally prompting you.
Yes, I know. I'd forgotten. I went.
Can't get away with doing a seven-minute anecdote. I can't pick up all the slack. Come on.
So we had a fan club outing this week, didn't we?
Well, finally, fan club is paying off, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We got invited to a preview press screening. Yeah.
Of Skyscraper.
Skyscraper.
The new film with Dwayne The Rock Johnston. Johnson.
Three of us went, didn't we?
Yes.
And I would say that if a ticket is like, what, 15 quid?
Yes.
So that is...
£45.
That's 45 quid we've made. I mean, we paid for popcorn and drinks. Mm. But if you deduct that, what's that, a tenner?
Yeah.
So 35 quid. So this FUBAR show is finally paying off in dividends. If I've used that word correctly. So that's 35 smackers that I don't have to spend on Skyscraper. So basically, in the 90s, there was a spate of Die Hard based movies. There was Die Hard on a plane,
yeah,
Passenger 57, and Con Air, and
Die Hard on a bus.
Die Hard on a bus, Die Hard in an hockey stadium.
There was, yeah.
Which was sudden death.
Yeah.
Die Hard on a boat, of course, Under Siege. Die Hard on a train, Under Siege 2. And to give things a twist, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has decided to do Die Hard in a skyscraper. so just gone full circle there. I was disappointed to find out that it was a Die Hard film, to be honest, because I thought it was going to be a remake of the Anna Nicole Smith movie, Skyscraper, which was Die Hard with tits. but it wasn't. It was kind of like half Die Hard, half Towering Inferno, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. And
without the cast list.
Of Towering Inferno, yeah. But it does have Nev Campbell in it from the Scream movies, which is she's very nice to see after 15 years or so. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
There's Skyscraper with Anna Nicole Smith. Dwayne the Rock Johnson's breasts are almost as big as Anna Nicole Smith. And hopefully Dwayne will be remaking To the Limit next, which was Anna Nicole Smith's other movie. And he'll be playing Anna Nicole Smith in the remake of Naked Gun 33 and a third. And he's going to be marrying a 90-year-old man as well. Good old Dwayne. Anything for a laugh. So I quite enjoyed it.
Me too. It was like, it's a lot of fun.
You'd have to be really cynical to go into it and not enjoy it.
Yeah, you would. You'd have to really try to. It's a very silly film.
I think the phrase I used was "what a piece of shit," but I really did enjoy it.
I would definitely, if they did a sequel to it, I would definitely watch it.
But that's the thing, right? So Die Hard is Die Hard,
yeah.
And then when they did a sequel to Die Hard, they called it Die Hard 2 Die Hard, and they set it in an airport, mm-hmm. right? And then Die Hard 3 was set in
the whole of New York,
which isn't as claustrophobic as the thing they would want you to believe. They basically gave up on that concept because everyone had done it.
Mm.
And you just think, oh, right, well...
And then they went, the concept of Die Hard is...
Airheads was Die Hard in a radio studio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With Michael Richards was the John McClane character, and Brendan Fraser was obviously Hans Gruber, Alan Rickman.
That's Fan Club.
But yeah, so. So a sequel to Die Hard is just kind of like you've got a generic name, you know, and it's kind of like we can set this anywhere, we can do as many sequels as we want. But if you're going to. It's almost like they've had quite a low expectation of. You want to call it like big. You know, the sudden drop or, you know, something, sudden impact. No, that was another Jean-Claude Van Damme film, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or was that an Anna Nicole Smith film? But my point is, if you're going to make a sequel to Skyscraper, you've just got to call it Skyscraper 2.
Yes.
And it'll just be, it'll have to be set on a slightly bigger skyscraper.
Yes.
Which is kind of like, they've painted themselves into a...
I mean, it is a big skyscraper, isn't it? In Skyscraper.
Really big skyscraper.
Three times the size of the Empire State Building.
Yeah. They never mentioned the Shard in it, which I was slightly disappointed with, because that was, for a bit, if it's not still, the tallest building in Europe. And it's my favourite building in the world.
Do you like it?
The Shard. I love the Shard.
I kind of don't like it.
Oh, I love the Shard. Have you ever been up it?
No.
You want to get up it, mate. You want to get up it. You want to get right up it. Even halfway up, you're looking down on St. Paul's.
You're neither up nor down.
But you can look down on St. Paul's and you can see the trains going, and it's like looking down on a toy train set, and at night it makes me cry.
Oh, really?
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I love the Shard. The skyscraper and skyscraper. I mean, Natalie, you can't keep it light. But you can't keep typing to us when we're having an in-depth. I thought it was weird, right? The film basically steals off a lot of other films.
It does.
There's even a point where they steal off The Man with Two Brains, which I thought was the bit when.
Yes, yeah.
When he's climbing across the building. And then there's the Man with the Golden Gun, Total Recall, Rocky, Die Hard. Like, there's some bits that they steal off Die Hard in a way where you go, hang on a minute, you didn't even earn that Die Hard bit.
There's a bit at the end which is quite odd where
two people that have never communicated
met.
With each other at any point throughout the thing have this really unearned emotional ending, and you go, hang on a minute, that's just because you wanted the ending from Die Hard mixed with the end. It's weird. Anyway,
one of my favourite bits is there's a bit with lots of where they go, hey, we've got to keep them alive. But then they escape and they start firing machine guns at them. And you go, that might kill them.
My favourite bit is when the two kids are left separated by themselves. And then these two guys come up and they say, don't worry, we won't hurt you. But they look like armed paedophiles, don't they? They've got machine guns and they come up, these two little kids, and say, don't worry, we won't kill you. We won't hurt you. And then the other thing that there's like loads of clichés like this. There's the big British bad guy, but who's so British that it's kind of like painful for him.
Yes, yeah.
And then there's the, and what I think they do, which I've kind of underappreciated until I saw this film, but what I think they do really well in Die Hard is the fact that John McClane talks to himself without you really going, he's just saying the plot. Because in Die Hard, he's running around the thing by himself and he's hitting himself in the head going, think, John, think. And he's like trying to solve problems and stuff. But in this, kind of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he does like witty one-liners just for his own benefit. Like he'll be taping himself up and he'll spur out a quip and you'll go, but there's no one around to hear that. It's weird. And then he'll also just be kind of like doing something technical. And then as a bit of ADR, like voiceover, it'll just be like him speaking out loud plot points so that everyone at home knows what he's up to.
He must have been absolutely gutted when he realised there was a lift on that crane as well.
I mean... There's some just absolute things that defy all logic. But I think that's what's so enjoyable.
Yeah, no,
about
I think
it.
That's it, right? It's fun. It really is like a fun film. And I was laughing all the way through. It was a lot of fun.
I've literally, all the way through the film, I was physically shaking my head in just absolute disbelief. And I kept looking round to you, Nat, and as if you were agreeing with me that this film is absolutely as bullshit and ridiculous as I thought it was. And it turns out at the end of the film, you were going through a completely different thing. But in hindsight, I've reacted more to that film than I have the majority of films that I've been told are amazing. And apparently it's had an 81% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that that matters, but why? But Natalie wanted us to point it out for some reason. But is that this version or is that the Anna Nicole Smith version? That's this. that is this version.
Anna Nicole Smith one's got 91%.
100%
Rotten Tomatoes
on the boner meter. She's just in a helicopter, and she's a helicopter pilot who lands on. It's softcore, very 90s. Skyscraper. I enjoyed it. And also we took a 17-year-old. Ho-won got... Oh.
Just
27%.
That's not bad. That's...
That's not bad.
Over a quarter.
I mean, some things have had absolute zero, haven't they? I mean, I think that's probably better than the Fantastic Four film from the other year. Why don't you look up some things that got less than 27% on Rotten Tomatoes to make us all feel a little bit better about the original Skyscraper and Best. we took a kid with us as well, though, didn't we?
Well, that sounds...
And he really enjoyed the film.
He did. It's someone you know, though, Nick, isn't it?
Yeah. But, yeah, we met him in the lobby, and we took the kid with us, and
is it an 18? Actually, no, it wouldn't be. Of course, it wouldn't be.
It couldn't be. There's absolutely no blood or
violence.
It must
be a PG-13.
Yeah, but anyway, a one-word review. One, two, three. Rubbish. So go and see it. All right, there's a song.
Radio presents Joey
Page. It's now time to welcome into the studio Danny Goffey. Have you got like a signature dish in your family? Like
I'm the cook at home.
We haven't got time because because Jerry's on. So we're back in the studio. Other films that are not as good as Anna Nicole Smith's Skyscraper.
These are ones with 0%. I think these are quite harsh.
Staying Alive, Jaws of Revenge, Police Academy 4. I mean,
Citizens on Patrol.
Return to the Blue Lagoon, Look Who's Talking Now, Low Down Dirty Shame. That's John Waters.
No, Low Down Dirty Shame, I think, is. Is it Keenan Ivory Wayans' film, I think.
Is it? Oh,
think
right,
so.
Okay, maybe. What's the... Is it Just a Dirty Shame?
Yeah, what's that one called? Yeah.
Can you look that up? John Waters' film, thank you. Wagons East! Oh, that's John Candy's last film. That's the one when he got CGI'd on top of a horse.
Oh, yeah, that's sad. Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, is the one where they go...
0%.
COP, what does that stand for? Couple of piss heads. And that's why I always like that as a joke. Made me laugh.
Oh, bloody hell, that's a surprise. Empire Strikes Back, 0%. we're joined in the studio now by the man. How would you describe yourself?
No, I want to hear how you do it.
Well, you're sort of like you're a comedian.
Right.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
But you also, you're very interested in the old footo, aren't you?
Love a bit of footo.
Footo.
You can be a fan of football.
Thanks, man.
Because you go around Mark Smith.
Do that at the top if you can.
Mark Smith. I was thinking we were going to the 0% thing.
Of my comedy?
No, I was
thinking of my... Who's got 0% quality? Mark Smith's comedy.
I was thinking it would be funny if we did the whole section without introducing you at all, because normally people chip in, and you were sitting there very politely waiting
to be professional.
Introduced.
I'm a professional. I won't talk over you. I won't sort of lambast you for saying the wrong thing.
Well, boring. Come on, let's keep going. So, Mark, it's very nice to have you in.
It's nice to be here. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Nat.
You're one of my few cherished people on this earth.
Right.
And every day that I know that I'm going to see you is a gift.
Yeah. Is this live, this show?
This is live.
So we can't cut that out?
No.
That's okay, that's cool.
That's gone happened. Out.
Not unless you've got one of them pens the Men in Black have.
Oh!
Keep it nerdy.
I was told you're into films. I didn't realise just how much you're into films.
No, not unless you've got one of them. And I don't think you're going to have enough time to go around all of our listeners. Well, you probably could do that in an afternoon, actually. You could be going to them.
Just one pen.
Yeah,
just, one swipe.
And that's not even gathering them together. That's going door to door. So
how many listeners do you get on this show, please?
Well, we were asking earlier.
We're trying to find out.
And Natalie said, do you know what? It's never even occurred to me to look at bollocks, has it? You just don't want to give us bad news before we go live.
Well, I want to get at least 1,000 followers on Twitter, if possible.
That's
off the back
doable.
Of this.
That is doable.
That is doable. Okay. You can just buy them.
Do you know what? Let's as a little social experiment. All of our listeners, can you just go out there and if you're not already following Mark Smith Comedy,
Mark Smith Comedy.
If
feel
you're
free to unfollow
to
afterwards. It's just a litmus test.
Just for like an hour.
Just for like an hour. But do you know what? He is one of my favourite tweeters.
Mm.
You're one of the only people that I follow that I haven't muted.
I wish I could say the same.
That's a shame. How will you know when I start gigging again?
That's true. Well, you'll tell me.
I will tell you. I'll ask you for advice.
Be a tearful phone call.
Oh, we're laughing, but it hurts.
Follow me as I skewer Trump, silly old Trump. What an idiot, yeah? More of that sort of hot stuff.
But yeah, if you are listening, go out and follow Mark. Not on Twitter. Go to the streets and
you know where he'll be at 1 o'clock, because he'll be leaving the Fubar Radio studios.
I'm staying overnight, mate.
He's never leaving.
You can find me by Belushi somewhere later on, no doubt.
It's the Trump march today, isn't it? Is it happening now?
As we speak.
That's a shame. I'm a big fan of Trump. It's funny that we've never really talked about it, have we now? But
Trump.
You can say a thing like that and you know that it's bollocks, because he's the worst human being that ever lived. We're not at the march, are we? Because we're doing this.
We're doing this.
That's true.
We've got a pre-record after this, which means that we're not going to... And then I've got a meeting.
Is this needed for the radio show?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I mean,
if Trump carries on being president after today, Nick, you're going to have to look yourself in the face and go, well, I've done that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm part of the problem.
You're part of the problem.
Mind you, I think that in a world where Trump is the global leader, we need shows like this to lighten the mood. So, fucking hell.
Can we swear on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope so.
I'm not going to. Just asking.
FUBAR stands for Fucked Up Beyond All Recognition.
Mm.
So it'd be a bit weird if you couldn't.
Okay.
So Mark.
Yeah.
How long have I known you?
Oh, too long, baby. What, 10 years? 9 years? 8 years?
I think about 8 years.
Okay, well, why ask me then?
I just wanted to know if you've been paying attention like I have. So you're not doing Edinburgh, are you?
No, I'm going on to visit for a couple of days. I'm not doing Edinburgh this year. It'll be my second year in a row off. I'm just too successful in other areas of my life to be doing Edinburgh.
What are you doing during August?
Crying and looking at Edinburgh from afar. I'm doing more sports stuff now. I'm doing more sports broadcasting stuff.
You interview a lot of footballers, don't
you? Yeah.
Is it Manchester United you work for?
Yeah, I do a show for Man United.
Do you support Man United as
well? I do not support Man United. I support Derby County.
Okay.
But, you know, money, innit?
Yeah. Who is your favourite footballer?
Well, I've heard that Manchester United have quite a lot of money.
Yeah, I've heard they do.
They're one of the more
successful
teams.
Yeah, they play in red as well.
They've got Eric Cantona,
yeah.
He's there.
They do still have him, I think.
David Beckham.
Eric
Cantona.
My dad
called him Darren Beckwood for the first 5 years of his career. Of Darren Beckwood's career, not my dad's career.
Why?
Just
Eric Cantona.
No, David Beckham.
Darren Beckwood.
Yeah. That's Darren Beckwood. I only like that.
Nick and Nat's fan club.
So,
spoiler!
It's, oh, I pressed
spoiler!
Okay, we're having a lot of fun.
This is the first show you've done.
We've got a new spoiler button, which we didn't press while we're spoiling Skyscraper for people.
But we haven't really spoiled Skyscraper. They did that themselves.
I want to see it. I'm a big fan of The Rock, I've got to say.
Do you know what? I like him. He's very charismatic, isn't he?
He's Schwarzenegger. He's doing a new Schwarzenegger.
He's not Schwarzenegger. I think Schwarzenegger was like a perfect storm of charisma, body mass, and budget.
But by that, I mean he's doing a similar trajectory, career path. He's gone sport and then acting, and then he'll be governor of California soon.
Yeah, sure. And he is actually an American citizen, isn't he? So he could probably be president one day.
He's from Hawaii, I believe.
Yes, one of the states.
Yes.
So he's an American citizen.
The 50th state.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger is not an American citizen, so he will never be able to be a president. But we were talking about his trajectory the other day, and it's kind of like all of his films are sort of like throwbacks, where right, so he's made like, he's had 3 films out in the last 8 months, like huge films.
Jumanji,
Rampage, and Skyscraper.
Yeah.
And sort of like, and then what's the disaster? San Andreas. He kind of like makes these, and Baywatch, and he kind of like makes these films where it's kind of like, he's always all right in all of his films, but his films tend to be not great.
Yeah, but fine, if he's good in them. That's the Johnny Depp thing. He's not good at
But Arnold Schwarzenegger's films were great.
They were great.
They still
are great.
They still are great.
Yeah, that's true. He could pick a script. But I think it's fine. I think
when you look at his worst one, something like Raw Deal, which is just forgettable, and I'm not a massive fan of the Conan films, but and then Junior and Jingle All the Way, but you know, but some people love Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, but some people like Trump.
That's true.
And I like Jingle All the Way
and Trump.
So I think they're kind of like, they're kind of different, and I love Jason Statham.
We've talked about this a lot of times.
I mean, I love him. I love him so much.
Yeah, he's... I assume you talked about the shark repellent scene.
The shark repellent scene and the mechanic too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I... Maybe we've talked about it on this, but it's the best thing that I've
ever seen. No, have you
seen it? I haven't
seen it. Oh, my God.
The shark repellent scene and the mechanic too is one of the best things I've ever seen.
Explain the entire scene from him going to prison.
Right, so Jason Statham has to go to prison, right? Yeah. Jason Statham, we all know what... this film was made last year. We know what Jason Statham looks like, right?
Yeah.
It was two years ago, right? So Jason Statham is a mechanic who basically what he does is he mechanizes people's deaths. He's an assassin, right? So he's got to go to prison
Seems like a lot of effort.
He has to go, just fucking punch him in the face, Stath. Just kick his fucking head off. And so Jason Statham, right, he has to infiltrate a high security prison, which is surrounded by shark-infested water.
Spoiler button.
Spoiler!
Bella!
So Jason said, this is for the mechanic too. Regeneration or something. Resurrection. Mechanic.
Resurrection.
Yeah, mechanic to resurrection. Come on, let me. So he has to infiltrate. I'm so good. He has to infiltrate a
high security prison surrounded by shark infested waters.
Gotcha. Shark infested water, right?
Jesus Christ.
So what he does is he smuggles on some items, right? Smuggles on a bomb and a detonator.
And 200 milliliters of water.
And he's surrounded by water. Okay. And he smuggles on shark repellent.
Right? How does he smuggle it? What does he use?
So the the explosion, the bomb is chewing gum. The detonator is a cigarette, and the shark repellent he smuggles in a tin of hair wax, right?
Through security,
and they don't question him, even though he's bald, right?
Yeah, but that's a joke, bald, right? Is that not a joke?
There's not close up of it. It's just sort of like one of the things that it was like it was written, even though it's a sequel to a Jason Statham film, it was like it was written without him in mind.
Yeah.
And they've kind of like...
Well, have a much longer haired actor for this bit, surely.
Well, he had long hair in Revolver, so maybe they were watching the wrong film.
But that security guard, he'd have had his passion for security and detective stuff ignited as a child. Yeah. He'd have wanted to be a detective, and he just let a bold man slide through
with a tin of hair wax.
A prop of hair wax.
They could have made a gag out of it, couldn't they?
Yeah, but they didn't.
Right.
They didn't.
There must be something in the edit floor. There must have been a joke about it.
To be on that cutting room floor.
Mm.
Be on that edit floor.
Nothing got cut. Nothing in that film got cut.
Literally everything's in there. And so
is that from like the Batman Adam West thing where he has the bat anti-bat shark repellent spray?
I think it's a little nod to that. The film isn't entirely serious. I mean, at the point where he
blows through
the wall and then applies the shark repellent
by rubbing his arms vigorously, and then he jumps through the hole in the wall into like 300 feet down into some shark infested water.
And they're all shooting at him.
And then he's swimming underwater. And then,
for 5 miles, because next time you see him bob up, he's on the boat.
But while he's underwater swimming,
because
like literally, when you see Jason Statham come up for air. The prison looks like an ant.
Yeah, let's go shoot it.
But when he's underwater swimming, basically a really bad CGI shark comes up behind him and sort of like sniffs him and goes, nah. It's amazing. It's one of the best things. The film is terrible, but it's one of the. But what is good about it is that there is sort of like they've. It's kind of like I saw it at the cinema.
Did you? Did it get a general release?
Yeah, I took the kid. It was when we were filming the third series of Uncle.
Who's the kid? Who do you keep saying the
kid from Uncle.
Oh, right. Isn't he a man now?
He's 29. it's mainly strip clubs for kids now. But this was when we were filming the third series. So he was 15, and he was staying in Croydon. When we were filming, and so after filming one day, I took him to the cinema.
Every day you'd go and see the same film.
We'd see The Mechanic every day for a week, but it wasn't there the next week, so we were gutted. Blu-ray.
Was it a 15 stiff?
He was there, Blu-ray.
Blu-ray's always freezing cold, as per.
Was it a 15? Yeah, it was a 15.
That's nice, isn't it?
You're going to say the best thing about it. I've got lots of things that are great about it.
There's really good bit. Well, the thing is about it is it could be like a straight to, you know, DTV kind of film. But it didn't have to be in the cinema.
What's DTV?
It's direct to television.
Oh,
you can't
good.
Say straight to video. We don't have video. But if you, mate, DTV? If we say straight to video, people go, what, you have videos, do you? You know, I said, I taped
something. That generally does, don't you?
Yeah.
I said something like, I taped something off the telly, and all of a sudden all these people come up to me and they're like, going, you taped.
Sorry, I recorded it digitally, you animals.
Absolute
bell peppers. What I like about The Mechanic 2 is that it's like every sort of bit.
Set pieces.
Yeah, every set piece is like a video game level, and they've got to sort of infiltrate certain thing or do it in an interesting way. I don't know if you've ever played the video game Hitman. But it's similar to that. You've got to sort of work your way around and sort of use, I mean, not logic, because there's no logic in the film, but...
But the swimming pool bit's really kind of visually interesting. It's great.
And so it's on Netflix still, right?
Yeah.
Go and see it if you get a chance.
Go and see it. Go around...
Go around your mate's house who's got Netflix.
Take your Netflix out of the house with you and go and watch it.
Well, you can these days, mate, on your bloody smartphones.
Oh, wow. Mm. You can do it all today, can't you?
And porn.
On your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
On my phone. Sorry, go on, Nick.
I forget what I was initially saying. Oh, it's got Tommy Lee Jones in it. I mean, I don't know why we've
gone into
quite a lot of detail
about Jessica Alba's in it.
Yeah, but those bits are just really... Oh, that's it. Set pieces. They're like a bit in a film where it's kind of like, oh, this is... We'll use this for the trailer, you know. And then people... What's the set piece in terms of football? Because I was watching the World Cup and they kept like going, that's a great set piece. That's a great... And it's just like, well, a set piece for me is kind of like a 5-10 minute section in an action film where...
Gary Lineker's holding onto a rocket or something. Yeah. Maybe that's what's happening in the commentary box and we're not seeing it.
That's it.
And they're saying, that's
button.
A good set piece.
Get on the red button.
Yeah.
Yeah, where Gazza is plunging in some dynamite and Eric Cantona is
covered
slow
in
motion jumping through an explosion. But
are you asking me all the
Ian
questions?
Wright,
question?
A, bear.
A
yeah.
set piece is just when it's not open play. So if you're taking a corner or a free kick, something where the ball is not moving, and it's called a set piece because you can have sort of predetermined ideas and sort of don't press that button. Dead air. You're going to get fined.
Finish off telling us about.
No, I will never finish off. Because you're going to threaten me with that button.
Oh, I'm not threatening with your button.
That's what a set piece is. And you can work out like different things you'll do as players within that set piece. Or on a corner, oh, I'm going to run to the front post. You run to the set. So it's all sort of predetermined what you want to do, what you want to try.
Okay.
No, you've heard it here first, people. That's what I said.
That's
the World Cup's pretty much over, and you've just.
No, it's not over.
When you're watching the rest of the World Cup, you'll know what a set piece is, so that you can enjoy that. I just want to say I'm sorry for Mark Smith's outburst earlier. We don't normally have such agitated guests on. it's a bit of a shame that he had to come and do it, but he has always been a
spoiler.
Anyway,
whose voice is that?
It's Mark Simmons.
Is it?
Yeah.
Play it again.
Can you tell?
I can now.
Yeah.
No, you told me.
Absolutely. Tell me. But we could have had a little competition. You could have won, I don't know, whatever's been sent in.
Well, what other ones have you got on there?
What, less?
No. Buttons.
Oh, That's all we've got.
Oh, right.
So, anyway, so, Mark, we've got 3 minutes left to talk about what you want to talk about.
What time's the show finish?
One.
What time have I got to be off by?
One.
You're on till the end.
All right.
Well, not with that attitude, mate. You can leave at any point you want.
I want to stay forever. I want to stay overnight.
I thought this would be a nice opportunity to hang out, but
I'm having a great time.
Oh,
good. What questions have you got for me?
So, what sort of? Who's your favourite? I mean,
well, we're talking already about film and actor. Was your favourite film and actor? Was it Jason Statham?
It might be now. I think I can't remember what I picked. Did I pick Tom Cruise? Yeah, I picked Tom Cruise for this.
Oh, yeah,
I was in a rush. I can't remember any other actors. But genuinely, I think Tom Cruise is great.
Like,
He's great in most stuff he does. He has a back catalogue of outstanding, and I do mean that, outstanding films. He's quite versatile. He can be the action hero, or he can be like a sort of broken... the Magnolia character, where he's that broken sort of...
I thought you were talking about the one in Born on 4th of July.
No, but good. I think that he
That's
is
like my left foot with explosions, isn't it?
they've
just Americanized it. We're going to have to put some action in this.
But I just love him. And also, he's one of the few people that when he does sci-fi, he really commits. And you go, all right, well, that's good. But then you realise, well, actually, he believes all that stuff because he's a mad Scientologist. So for him, it's not even acting. He genuinely he lives this. What else do you want to know about Tom Cruise?
Has he ever made a film with John Travolta?
Cruise? I don't believe so, no.
It's weird that they haven't kind of made something together.
They haven't released one, anyway.
Sure.
I reckon there's a vault full of weird... His best film was Going Clear, I thought, Tom Cruise. The Scientology expose. Really natural in that one. I don't know if Travolta has done... John Revolting. I don't know if he has done a film with Cruise.
Are you looking forward to the new Mission Impossible film?
Of course I am. Of course I am now, always.
How he does his own stunts?
That's a midlife crisis, though, isn't it?
I feel...
Breaking your ankles for the lads.
I feel like that it is basically we're paying money to watch a man masturbate into our eyes.
Again?
Over and over
But you
again.
Don't have to pay money to do it.
No, you can...
you don't have to watch it
over your mate's shoulder on his Netflix. I like Tom Cruise despite myself, really. I mean, I'm not a massive fan.
I think that I didn't used to, and then something flipped, and I went, I like him now.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I felt like I didn't want to.
Do you know what I think the turning point was? It was Jack Reacher.
Oh.
Because
I mean, I wanted to talk about this at length.
Yeah, is this your favourite film?
No, but it may as well be.
I would
fuck
say
the
that
list.
Jet,
this is dead.
Jet Reacher.
Reacher
is,
now.
It's like one of my all-time favourite films of all time ever. Mm-hmm. I just think I've seen it so many times. That first Jet Reacher, the second one was awful, wasn't
really
it?
Really bad.
It was so boring.
Yeah.
But the first is first one is like John. It's like Tom Cruise has accidentally made Naked Gun, and he doesn't know that he's in it. He doesn't know that he's done it.
Some of the dialogue, though, is genuinely Aaron Sorkin-esque. The bit when he's in the bar and he meets the girl.
The bar,
and he goes, and I'm Sandy.
He goes, so was I. Last week, at the beach, I mean.
And she's absolutely confused by this.
What?
And we all are. He's a wonderful man. Plus,
there's the bit when she says that when he's going to beat up her mates outside.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you wait here. Her mate says to her, you wait here. She goes, I don't mind the sight of blood. And Tom Cruise turns around and goes, only because it means you're not pregnant.
Yeah.
And you go, that's in an actual film.
Yeah.
That's in an actual... That's, but not just any film. Tom Cruise said that.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, who produced it...
Who would have liked produced, approved, definitely yeah. would have gone, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good.
Well, there's a reason
yeah.
why every
in
single
the book,
female...
Isn't it? Probably in Lee Child's book.
Every single woman in the film looks at Tom Cruise like he's the most beautiful thing they've ever seen and wants to have sex with him immediately. So he's got definitely a license to put those sorts of things in the
they
film.
Look
he
at
could have
is
said,
that,
no,
is
I'm
it,
not
is
doing
it like
that.
James Bond license to kill, and yeah. it's Jack Reacher license to put these things in the film.
But they like, but all of the women. Every time he walks into a room, all of the women, no matter who they are,
age, height,
anything, right? They all look at him and they sort of like bite their bottom lip or they lick their lips at him, as if they're looking at multi billionaire Tom Cruise, as opposed to
Jack Reacher.
And yeah. it's just kind of like, well, hang on a minute, Jack Reacher. Is looking every second of his age. He's like, you know,
Richard looks like shit, Nick, is what you're trying to say.
But
do you think that's because Tom Cruise can't see beyond that? Because his own experience of life is that probably does happen to him. It's like in Woody Allen films where Woody Allen plays himself, but he's going out with someone who's 25 or something.
It's exactly
you go. It's because in his mind he goes, well, why wouldn't that happen? That does happen. That's what my life's like.
That's what middle-aged men do.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise thinks that he's Days of Thunder Tom Cruise. Walking into a room, when in actual fact, you know, he has that top. He does that bit when he takes his top off, and Rosamund Pike is talking to him.
Yeah, and she just goes, she's completely silent,
and she's talking. She loses her track, and then she goes, can you put your top back on, please? It's distracting. And Tom Cruise script approved it, and you just like, oh my god. And the thing is, I mean, Tom Cruise is kind of like same thing happened to Stallone, where. They're still in really great shape, but they've expanded in a way. So they look like there's like... So all of their muscles look like kind of strips of bacon stapled to a barrel.
When I was little, I had a Stretch Armstrong and I cut it by accident with a pair of scissors and I left
Hang
it
on.
Up. I left the Stretch Armstrong on my wardrobe.
You cut it by accident with
a
pair of scissors?
Yeah, I can't remember how it happened. I was like five or something. The point is that over the years, I forgot that it was up there and all the sort of goo had leaked out. And then when you pulled it down, it was all like sort of flat and sort of really weird. And that's what Tom Cruise's body looks like in that scene.
The other thing about Tom Cruise, and now when I watch, now after I've watched Naked Gun 4 starring Tom Cruise, now when I watch one of his other films, I can't remember which one it is. Which Mission Impossible's got the tallest building in the world in Dubai?
Four. Ghost Protocol, is it?
There's him, Simon Pegg, and I think Ving Rhames, and they're all in they're all like at the top of this tallest building in the world, and they're all chatting, and they go, oh, well, the only way we're going to be able to do this impossible mission is if one of us, not saying who, but if one of us has to go outside on the window of the world's tallest building.
I nominate Pegg.
And then they all look at each other, then they all look at Tom Cruise, and then Tom Cruise goes, whoa,
Here we go again.
Not me. No way. No way. And then cut to him outside the bed. You know, it's not going to be fucking Peg, is it? For fuck's sake.
Imagine if it was Ving Rhames.
It's just like, fucking hell. And also, it's just like, you've got script approval, and it's leading up to the world's most dangerous stunt. It was Ghost Protocol. The world's... Oh, Cruise and Travolta both had cameos in... Austin Powers Gold Member.
Can I say, this show is very skyscraper heavy today.
Yes,
a lot of skyscraper talk in
it. It's a skyscraper special.
It's well, you could say in many ways that Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol sequence was a tip to the hat to the Anna Nicole Smith movie Skyscraper.
But Tom Cruise, going back to him, I know he does all this overblown action stuff, but he can also do Jerry Maguire, and you can do the subtle stuff as well.
He can also do horror. Great. Let's not forget The Mummy. Unbelievable.
That is horrific.
The last Mission Impossible film, Ving Rhames can't even run anymore. It's going to be worth watching the new one to see how fast he runs. There's a bit where he tries to run in and you just see him sort of jog on from off screen and you think, I mean, he was just there and it looks like he's got sweat on.
But actors can't run. Actors cannot run. Like, there's a scene in one of the Bourne films where Matt Damon's running down the beach. Like, he's being controlled by sort of someone on an app.
Yeah.
And it's like the script must have
being
said
controlled by an app.
The script must have said, like, Jason Bourne runs down the beach like he's never run before. And he's just misinterpreted that. Well, like, he's never run before. Man, but Cruise is someone who can run. Cruise famously in every film he ever does, he's sprinting at some point.
Even the
spoiler!
Even the end of Days of Thunder, where he's a car.
You've got a car, mate.
He's a race car driver, and he doesn't run in the whole film. There's no running in the whole film, and then right at the end, he has a race with Robert De Niro for no reason. You go, I wonder who's going to win this one, mate. Pick on the old guy.
One of my favourite Cruise scenes is in the third Mission Impossible, MIIII, and it's the one where he runs at the end, but he outruns a missile. There's a missile coming out and he's doing this kind of like his hands are going up and he's going really fast, but it's like, he goes, you can't outrun a missile, Tom. But he can.
Whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants.
Amazing. Right, we're going to play your song now.
What is my song?
Do What You Gotta Do by Nina Simone.
Oh yeah, yeah, play it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Alright, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, play it, mate.
Do what you gotta do, see me when you can. Man, I can understand how it might be kinda hard to love a girl like me. I don't blame you much for wanting to be free. I just wanted you to know I've loved you better than your own kin did. From the very start, it's my own fault what happens to my heart. You see, I've always known you'd go, so you just do what you gotta do, my wild, sweet love. You feel sad, they make you feel so bad. They say you don't treat me like you should. They got ways to make you feel no good. I guess they got no way to know. I've had my eyes wide open from the start, and man, you never lied to me. The part of you that they'll is the part you've shown to me. So you just do what you gotta do, my wild, sweet love. Oh, it may mean that I'll never kiss those sweet lips again. Pay that no mind. can.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
And we're back in the studio. And we're back in the studio after going live to Nina Simone over in Bristol. So
I told my wife there was a documentary called Whatever Happened to Miss Simone or Nina Simone on Netflix. Yeah. And we were just strolling through and she said, what did happen to her? And I said, do you not know? She was like, no, what? I said, they fired her to the moon. Fired her to the moon, and she was like, what do you mean? They fired, you know, I can't even say it now, but anyway, divorce next week.
That's good. What's your favourite TV show?
The one I got was asked what I liked when I was growing up.
Oh, well,
why are you asking people this? This is very personal. It's very confusing to people now.
Do you want my favourite TV show currently, or my favourite ever, or my favourite when I was a kid?
What was your favourite show when you were growing up?
I like Cheers. I watch a lot of that. I can't think what I wrote down on the list.
I think this question is useful if it's kind of like we're going on a Desert Island Discs-esque walk down memory lane, but we're not scratching beneath the surface.
I like
loads
of comedy. I liked all American comedies. That's what I liked. I liked Seinfeld. I liked Cheers.
I think Cheers is a good call.
I like the 11 o'clock show here when I was 13 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Felt late and naughty to watch it on Channel 4. That's what Channel 4 used to feel like, didn't it?
I get the 11 o'clock show mixed up with the Sunday show.
Is that a cooking show?
No, there was the one with Katie Puckrick.
And
Donna McPhail.
Yes.
And Paul
11,
Tompkinson.
11 o'clock show was Ian Lee, Daisy Donovan, and then it threw out to like Ali G did his first stuff.
And Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
And I never watched that.
Okay, well, there's still time.
I'm just catching up on brushstrokes at the moment.
Have I misunderstood the question? Was the question, what shows do I like that Nick knows about?
In a way. I mean, come on. It's our show. We need to talk. We need to chat.
I'll tell you what I liked. I liked shows about Evel Knievel.
Oh. Live shows.
Oh, I don't care. I want to see a man in a suit jumping over a crocodile or whatever it is.
A
man in a suit
jumping over a crocodile.
I think that's a Bond film, actually.
What's your favourite TV show at the moment? No, what was it? What was it? Because I think there's a difference between Seinfeld and Cheers, isn't there? Cheers was a really, really I suppose Seinfeld was always very sort of deliberately by its nature cynical, wasn't it? It was just like, we're not going to do any hugging, we're not going to do anything about friendship, we're not going to be nice to each other, it's a show about nothing.
But the show's about the people are sort of arseholes.
Four selfish arseholes from New York. Whereas Cheers is really comforting.
Yeah.
You love the characters. It's amazing that Rebecca, what's her name? Kirstie Alley. It's amazing that Kirstie Alley managed to come in and kind of like create another character halfway through the run.
Yeah.
That was still likeable.
And Woody Harrelson replaced Coach.
When Coach died, Woody Harrelson came in. Mm. And so Cheers is sort of like one of those films where you grow up and you feel like, you know, they got those Cheers pubs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I went to the one in Boston.
I went to the one in Piccadilly Circus. They fucking ID'd me. Everybody knows your name. So
yes, press a button somehow. Press any button.
That's an oldie but a goodie, and I stand by that. It is a good joke. Now, I love Cheers. It was brilliant. Those pubs that they had, the Cheers themed pubs. They're not around anymore, are they? Probably in Boston.
I've only been to the one in Boston, which I think they shot the exterior at, and then a couple of.
And inside it's just a pub, is it?
It's just a pub. It doesn't really look that much like the bar or anything.
And are the staff pub really friendly?
Staff are absolutely fine.
Okay.
The Cheers pub in Piccadilly Circus, which isn't there anymore, that used to look like the inside of Cheers.
Did it?
And it was weird because, there was like a space where Norm would sit.
Mm.
And no one was sitting on it. And you just think, well, that's exactly where I would sit.
I think Cheers.
Were they allowed to sit there? Maybe they weren't allowed to sit there. Maybe that was the point.
But it was weird because you'd go in there and then you'd have to, and there'd be the fourth wall, and you'd have to imagine, like, it'd take you a while to work out. Oh, that's where the audience would
They should
be.
Have had a live audience in the pub.
Yeah.
That would have done it.
Yeah. They're just watching you.
You're just watching you drink.
And just waiting for a laugh. Like,
just watch me nothing funny, down a pint of wine, see how they react. Woo!
Woody Harrelson basically got a film career off the back of how loved he was on Cheers.
Yeah.
It's well, like, it's just
isn't,
like.
Isn't that where he got his name from as well?
Oh, Woody, I guess.
Oh, fucking hell, it's fucking 3 minutes left.
Apparently. Do you know the guy from Grizzly Man? Do you know the guy from Grizzly Man, the Werner Herzog?
Yeah.
What's his name?
The
mad guy who gets killed by the. Spoiler.
We haven't got time.
The mad guy that gets killed by the bear. Apparently, he got to the last two for that part.
Oh, Cheers. Really?
And instead, one guy becomes Woody Harrelson, the other guy gets eaten by a bear.
Timothy Treadwell.
Have we got any time to do. Yeah, okay.
We can do.
Really quickly.
It's better or worse. This is the game show where you have to say.
What? You're going to say better or worse?
Right. You're going to say, well, the next one is better or worse than the one before. First one, Dan Aykroyd. Is Steve Martin better or worse than
better.
Dan Aykroyd? He is better. Is Sandra Bullock better or worse?
Yeah. Than Steve Martin,
yes.
Right, yeah.
Is Sigourney Weaver better or worse than Sandra Bullock?
Better.
Yeah. Is Benedict Cumberbatch better or worse? He's worse. Is Samuel L. Jackson better or worse? He's better. Is Peter Sellers better or worse?
Better.
He's better. Is Helen Mirren better or worse?
Worse,
she is worse. Is Bradley Walsh better or worse than Helen Mirren?
Oh, I love Walsh. But no, worse. I'm going to go with worse.
Oh, man.
Worse than Mirren. Is Antonio Banderas better or worse than Bradley Walsh?
Worse,
yeah.
That's, did I win?
Yeah, you've got.
No, you haven't won.
I think that's nine, isn't it?
Eight. Got eight. I've met Bradley Walsh and he is better than Helen Mirren.
Have you met Helen Mirren?
I like Walsh.
Have I met Helen Mirren? She wouldn't let me anywhere near her, mate. That's
the,
why.
The order.
For one, that's why,
fan club.
That's why. That's ban club. That's. Yeah.
Can I go now?
What did he get? He got eight. So he got eight, which means that.
He's on leaderboard.
Yeah, that's so, a good. That's
so
a great score.
So what was it? There was Jack Barry got four.
Jack Barry got four.
Worse.
Yeah. He was worse.
Come on, we got
Jack Barry got four. Hayley Campbell got seven. Brett Goldstein got seven. Yasmin Akram got five. Colin Holt got six. Claudie Blakely got eight. And Sam Ashurst got three. So you're joyfully.
Come on, Darby.
Three. He lost. Sam. All right, thank you for listening. Love you, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
When I was younger than I am, I liked swimming, so I swam. Right outside the boat, in a marina, tarmac broken from sun, up the craft plane. fox in